Flugshow, der Skispringen-Podcast. Alle News zum Skispringen der Männer und Frauen, spannende Hintergrundstories und exklusive Interviews. Präsentiert euch das deutsch-österreichische Trio Tobias Ruf, Louis Holuch und Gernot Clement.
Hallo und herzlich willkommen, liebe Flugshow-Hörerinnen und Flugshow-Hörer, zu dieser Sonderausgabe unseres Skisprung-Podcasts. Heute begrüße ich, Louis Holuch, euch alleine zu dieser Folge, aber zum Glück wiederum auch nicht, denn wie ihr schon am Cover und am Titel sehen könnt, wir haben uns einen Gast in unseren Podcast geholt. Wie versprochen, wir haben uns Gedanken gemacht, Mensch, was können wir denn über die wettkampffreie Zeit bei den Skispringerinnen so tun und sind sehr froh, dass wir eine Interviewgästin für uns gewinnen konnten. Sie ist eine der erfolgreichsten Skispringerinnen der letzten Jahre und sie scheut auch nicht davor, klar und deutlich ihre Meinung zu sagen. Auch das werdet ihr in diesem Interview merken und damit spanne ich euch gar nicht lange auf die Folter und wünsche euch nun viel Spaß bei unserem kleinen Gespräch mit Silje Opseth aus Norwegen. For the third time in the history in our podcast, we are bringing you an interview in English. And for the second time, we are joined by a Norwegian guest. She is a mixed team silver medalist of the World Championships in Oberstdorf, even a two-time bronze medalist with the team. And with 12 World Cup podiums, she is also one of the strongest ski jumpers in the recent years. And we're glad she is here. So welcome to the Flugshow and hey, Silje Opseth.
Thank you. So nice to be here.
Yeah, we spoke about it before that it actually shouldn't be like this in the middle of the season, but why that is, we will come back on later. So how does a typical week in this current period of time look for you? What have you been doing recently?
Oh, recently I have just focused really much on the technical and the physical training back home here in Norway. And then we have had one training camp and we will have one more next week, which I really look forward to. It's all about preparing for the Olympics right now. So yeah, just focusing on doing the things that we need to do before we're heading over there.
Okay, sounds great. I mean, of course, the Olympics is also going to be a topic in our talk today, but let's get back to some stuff you've also recently done. You've done a Q&A on the Hopplandslaget Instagram channel, and yeah. You also told the fans out there what you have been up to, though. You're a ski jumper, part-time studying as well, cooking, spending time outside. So I've wondered if there's any time in which you are doing nothing. Is there a Silje Opseth which is just resting?
Yeah, it is for sure. I think every human being needs to rest from time to time. So I really do. I really like to listen to, I don't know what's it in English, but to books that's read it in. So when I have some time off, I'm laying on my sofa or in my bed just listening to that. So that's my time off.
Okay. I've also got to know that you have some sort of special hobby. And with that, we are going to the first guest question I received. It's from Halvor Egner Granerud.
Okay.
And yeah, he was asking you, how good did it feel to beat him in the orienteering competition in the summer?
Oh, that was really good. I think it was really fun to beat him in something. Finally, it's not that easy to find something to beat Halvor in. He is a really strong competitor in almost everything he takes part in. But it was really fun and I do really enjoy orienteering. So to do something else and to keep up my activity level a bit through that was absolutely a perfect summer for me.
I knew that this kind of hobby isn't that popular, at least in Middle Europe. So could you explain to people who don't know what it is?
Yeah, it's basically running with a map, trying to find what we call posts, which is spreaded out in the nature or in the streets or whatever. So it's navigating and running at the same time, basically.
Okay, that that sounds fun. So if anyone hears it for the first time, you might try it out.
Absolutely.
Then we also got a question from his dad, Svein, who's also a big supporter of our podcast. So I'm glad he took the time to write down a bit. And he said that he was with you at the Junior World Championships in Romania.
Yeah.
And said that the event had to be stopped earlier in the week, but your flight home was on Sunday.
Yeah.
So you took in some activities and went up the mountains for skiing and snowboarding. But something must have happened. He didn't tell the whole story, but the question is this your favorite place to ski?
Well, that's actually a really good story, and I almost can't stop laughing about it when I hear it over again, because we rented some snowboards, and I really love to ski, but I'm not a good snowboarder, so when we rented those boards, we tried it out, and it ended up with both Harvey and me getting concussions. It was not good. So I had to go to the hospital and was there for a couple of hours. And the whole week over there ended with both Harvey and me in the bed. With concussions, and it was really special. Okay. That is a great story then, and I don't know, maybe I will go back there skiing one time. It was great otherwise.
Okay, so it's fine for you that now the whole ski jumping family got to know about this story.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just really special, I think.
Mm-hmm. One different thing he also mentioned, and which is also quite present, is that you are taking part of a campaign against alcohol. What is your motivation and your contribution to that?
It's mainly that for me, alcohol and sport doesn't belong together. That's my opinion, and I have chosen to keep distance from alcohol, and also I think it's really important that all sport arenas and especially where children and young people I think it's important to keep that a safe place where everyone feel included and can look at their role models in a good way. So in my opinion, I think all sport arenas should be without those kind of things to make it both safer and get a healthy perspective to the sport.
At least in terms of spectators, we don't have to worry about that too much, since we're still living in the pandemic. People who follow women's ski jumping for a longer time might think it's not that much different for you between the pre-COVID time and the current times in terms of spectators. But does it make a difference for you jumping without a crowd standing in the outrun?
Yeah, for sure it is. You don't get that loud spectators on the tribune, and Some of the it's something about the surroundings that is different. So of course we feel the difference we're competing with versus without spectators. But on the other hand, we are pretty much focusing on what to do in the hill, and we're just trying to do our best, no matter if there's someone watching us live or not. So I really hope that the spectators will get back when this situation is passed. But for now, we just have to entertain you through the TV screen, I guess.
Did this whole pandemic influence your daily routine, or could you say that as we speak right now in the middle of January, things have gone back to normal for you in your training?
Yeah, it's pretty much more back to normal now, but it, especially right now, right in front of the Olympics, which is our main goal for the season, we are taking some of the routines that we had last year back to be sure that we are not getting infected right now. So as some examples, I'm not going home to my family visiting them right now. I'm just staying by myself in my apartment and trying to keep as much distance from other people as possible. But of course I go to the training center to do my workouts, and I go to a hill here to practice ski jumping. But except from that, I'm trying to stay as much as possible by myself.
Do you have insights on how it is for, let's say, junior athletes? Do they have the same possibilities to train?
Yeah, I think so. It's pretty much open here in Norway now. The training studios and they do have the opportunity to train together and to have their coach to follow them. So right now, I think it's pretty much normal. Just depends on the situations from day to day, actually. So tomorrow it could be different. We don't know.
yeah, for sure. Yeah. Getting back to the current season you have. So we are talking in mid-January, and the most recent competition was the new Sylvester Tour in Ljubno, where you jumped around New Year's Eve and for the first time in this knockout format. So some kind of Four Hills clone, I would say. How was this event for you?
Oh, I think it was really fun. It was really fun to try out the knockout system. To be 50 people in the competition for the first time, trying to knock each other out. It's a really great concept, and I enjoyed it a lot. So hopefully we will continue having a tournament around Sylvester in the future. And yeah, maybe we could take part in the Fyrtjansen turné soon, I hope.
Did you get to know how the feedback in Norway was? Did the spectators actually follow it as similar as other World Cup competitions?
I don't know, actually. I haven't heard the numbers, but I hope so. I know that more and more people in Norway are following our World Cup competitions, getting their eyes open for women's ski jumping and finds it interesting. So hopefully people watch that too.
At least for Slovenia and Austria, we have heard that the numbers were similar to the Vierschanzentournee. So should be a good sign, though.
That's really good.
and we've heard that the organizers want to add Villach as a second venue. Would you like to have this extension?
Yeah, for sure. If we're getting more hills and more competitions, that's just really good. And I never jumped in Villach, but it should be nice, I think. But to be honest, my dream is to one day take part in the Fyrstjansen Tournée together with the boys and to jump the large hills in Germany and Austria. So I heard something about that. It would probably be introduced for us next year, but I'm not sure if that's right or not. We will see.
The promise is there, but yeah. Obviously we will have to wait. But I think we can all agree that having the real Fyrstjansen Tournée would have a total different impact on women's ski jumping.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, for sure. But by far, it's really just really good that we're having more competitions. So.
Yeah, I mean, you've had 9 competitions so far, which is. Sounds all right, especially when we compare it to last year, where you had one competition at the same time of the year. So, yeah. A big difference. You are currently 7th in the overall World Cup with 380 points. How would you sum up your season so far?
Well, it has been a bit turbulent, I think. Some kind of an emotional roller coaster. It didn't start as I wanted in Nizhny Tagil, but then I worked with my technique and my mentality before Lillehammer, and it got better. So, and then it was good both in Lillehammer and in Klingenthal. And then I feel like I haven't fully showed my potential the last 2 weekends. So there's still things to work with, and that's a good thing. But I hope to deliver better results and be more confident in my ski jumping in the time to come.
But if we look at the hills you have jumped so far in the World Cup, I think they couldn't be more different from weekend to weekend. Is this also one of the biggest challenges at the moment for you?
Yeah, for sure. But that's always a challenge. And I feel like it's when you're in good shape, you don't get affected with those hill changes. From weekend to weekend, you're just kind of in the flow and can just go with it. But when you're a bit more unconfident and maybe you haven't started to trust fully in your technique yet, like I am right now, it's probably more difficult. For me, so far this season, it has been a bit of a challenge, but I think it's absolutely solvable. So hopefully the hills that's coming now will be better.
If you, let's say, start a competition day, do you have always the same rituals or routines? How do you approach such a competition day?
Yeah, it's pretty much the same. I have... a little bit depending on what time of the day we're competing, but usually I having a morning prep session where I go for a run or playing some ball with my teammates, and then doing some technical training before we're going to the hill, where I have the same routines all the time. It's all about getting warm before ski jumping and activate all muscle groups to be ready.
And when it happens that days are like let's say, the boys recently had in Innsbruck, where it was just turbulences all the time. What do you ski jumpers do when you have no idea whether you're going to start and when you're going to start?
For me, it's mostly about relaxing, just accept that it takes time sometimes. And if it's to sleep in our changing room, or to just play a game on my phone or chat with my teammates, it's just about taking some time off in between.
If you could decide, how long should be the longest of wait? I mean, people were, let's say, sort of angry that they even tried to have a competition in Innsbruck. How is your view as a ski jumper on those things?
Well, I think that if a change in the weather situation is around the corner, I think it's absolutely best to wait to get both fair and safe conditions for everyone. So if it takes time, it takes time. And that's okay for me. So I don't have a specific opinion about that, actually. I would rather wait than getting that cancellation too early.
Yeah, I guess it's more difficult for spectators, especially when they are on site and it's maybe like cold or windy. It's not fun, obviously. But I mean, we've also had nights in Japan where we didn't went to bed until like 6 in the morning here in Europe. So it happens. It's just Mother Nature.
Yeah, it's nature. And for sure, I think it's worse for the spectators and people watching us, because we are sort of in the bubble, just getting prepared for what to come.
What people might have noticed also in the past couple of minutes, I've been talking, that you are sort of a straightforward person. You're always telling your honest opinion on things, and I think this is also quite refreshing for women ski jumping. Have you ever been like this, or was it the process of growing for you?
I don't know, actually. I have always had strong opinions about things, especially things that I am interested in, and ski jumping is of course one of those things. So I'm not afraid of saying my opinion out loud. And I really often think it's more important to say it out loud than to just stay quiet. Besides, I've always, or since I got into the national team, I have had really strong leaders around me, which tells their opinion about things. So in my environment, that's kind of the way we do things. And I guess I'm learning from my leaders and trainers.
Yeah, I mean, I was just about to point it out that you have strong characters in your team, in your country. I mean, no matter if you're talking about the men or your team, also with Christian and especially Maren. Does it feel much different to you that she's not with your team in the season, or did you sort of get used to it for now?
Yes and no. I think we are somehow getting used to it, because she haven't been out traveling and competing with us for almost a year soon. So we're getting pretty used to that situation, but I'm also feeling I can feel that it's a difference both in the team, since she's not there, and or all the roles in the team has sort of changed a bit. But also outside, I think it's visible because she has always been that strong woman who took who spoke out or talked to the media and everything. And she has also been the best in our sport on our team by far. I really can feel that she's not with us right now, but on the other hand, I know that she will come back stronger, and I can't wait to have her back.
And does it also have an impact on you in terms of that media are asking you more questions because now you're the number one sort of in Norway?
It was really a new situation for me, especially at the beginning of the season. Everyone and every media channel asking me questions instead of her. So it was a new situation for sure. But by the time that has passed, I feel like I have both gotten more confident with it, and I've gotten used to it.
And this is also the point why the two of us are sitting here right now, because this Q&A I've mentioned was sort of how we got in contact for this interview, because you were answering a question regarding this competition break you have at the moment. So in the middle of the season, you are 3 weeks at home, not even a month before such a big highlight as the Olympic Games. And on the other side, the men are getting a full calendar even when the events are cancelled. So how does that make you feel like as an athlete and especially as a woman?
Well, as I answered in the Q&A, I think it's a real pity because we are working just as hard as men throughout the year, preparing ourselves for competitions, and cancellations happens for sure, but to see that the men's competitions are replaced but ours are not, it feels it just feels sad. I just feel sad about it, and I could just wish there was something I could do to change the situation, because we're in the middle of the winter, as you said, not having competitions, which is what we work for every day. The only thing we want is to compete against each other and do our best in competitions. So sitting home now feels, it doesn't feel that good, to be honest.
And I guess it also doesn't help that the situation is a bit comparable to last seasons, where it was even worse, at least in terms of the numbers of competitions.
That doesn't help at all, actually. And the good thing is that our calendar this year is filled with more competitions overall, and that's a good step in the right direction. So that's positive, but of course we could wish that our competition got replaced.
So I've counted all together, but the amount of competitions until the Olympics, and it's for women, it's just six. I don't have the exact number for the men right now, but even until the next World Cup in Willingen, there's only a Continental Cup in Innsbruck. Do you even think about competing there, or are you just sticking to the World Cup for now?
For now, we're just sticking to the World Cup. We're having a Continental Cup team in Norway, which is coached by Linear, and they will be sent there as per usual. We have a difference in Norway between the national team and the B team, so we're not going there.
Okay, then at least there's some sort of light on the horizon with Willingen, as I've mentioned, also the hill which is closest to me actually. How much are you looking forward to that?
Oh, I'm really looking forward to that. It's the biggest hill that we have jumped in the World Cup by far. So I've never been there, but I do really like the big hills in our calendar. So I'm really looking forward to that. And we're having that mixed competition. So I think it will be really, really good.
Hard to disagree on that. What makes this weekend also so special, at least let's say, hopeful perspective, is that FIS said that they will treat this weekend as kind of a test for possible ski flying for you. Maybe it's a bit naive question, but I've wondered how much sense does it actually make to take this as a test for ski flying, which is a whole different discipline?
Well, that's hard to tell, but for sure, I guess that they think that when the hill gets bigger, we need to show that we're capable of flying far and deliver a great competition. I don't know if willing is the only thing they should look at, but it's the biggest hill that we have jumped in by far. And I think it's, at least a step in the right direction then.
I've also been to TTC Neustadt last season. And for me, this is sort of a stereotype of a large hills competition for you. As well as it was in Klingenthal, I've always felt like they didn't extract the whole potential of a competition in terms of letting you jump similar far as the men. Do you also feel that they are sometimes a bit too shy in terms of in-run length and stuff like that?
Yeah, I really do. Of course, I could wish they were a bit tougher when it comes to setting the gate and give us the speed that we need to jump far. A little too often, I think that they are changing the gate a bit too fast when it comes to top 10 in the World Cup and those things. Yeah, they're not giving us the opportunity to jump as far as the men, and that's sad, but by far that's how it is. So,
but wouldn't you agree that that it might be the most smart thing to do to let your coaches decide how far you can jump? I mean, there's still this red button they could use, so why not making more use of that actually?
Yeah, that's a good point. I haven't actually thought that much about it, but for sure, if I think it would probably have been better if we had a couple of gates a little bit more speed, and then the coaches could decide whether they wanted their athlete to go from a lower gate. That's a good point.
Getting back to Willingen, I mean, this is a whole new hill for you. How do you approach these things?
Pretty much the same way as always. Prepping my technique and focusing on what to do, because every hill is different from each other, but what I should do is pretty much the same. So that's mainly what I do, focusing on my basic technique and just going for it.
And like, how many jumps do you need to adopt yourself to this new hill? Can you say that in numbers, or is it different also?
It's different from hill to hill, I think, and from time to time. Considering where you are in your own process, I guess. But hopefully I don't need any jumps at all. I always try to be to turn my power button on before jumping in a new hill to deliver my best from the beginning. And sometimes I need a couple of jumps to get the rhythm in the hill and to understand it. But other times it's just on autopilot.
Yeah. So there's no way we're gonna see you taking it slowly on your first training jump at a new hill.
No.
Okay. Then, of course, the big highlight, we have mentioned it a couple of times, the Olympics. I mean, similar situation for you, like in Willing. It's a new, completely new hill. You never been there, unfortunately, because also the test events got canceled last season. How are your feelings towards the Olympics? Is it excitement, or are you also a bit skeptical about it?
Right now, it's a bit of mixed feelings. I'm really excited, and I'm really looking forward to it. It has been my goal for many years, and it's my goal for the season. And that also makes me feel a bit, terrified, I guess, because it's so big and I know it, and I want to deliver my best jumps there. When you have worked really hard for something for a while and it comes to that one day where you have to deliver, it's terrifying, but hopefully it will be a lot of fun as well.
One thing that I find remarkable about these Olympic Games is that the discussions at the moment ahead of it are quite political, sort of. Do you also think about these kind of topics, or are you solely focusing on your job, sort of?
I have to admit that focusing the most on what to do for me and the sport. Of course, I have been thinking about the human rights and the things going on over there as well. But for me, it's most about the sport. So I have to do what I can do to be prepared for what's coming.
Then let's have a look on the sport. I mean, it's quite paradox. We have had the World Championships in Oberstdorf last season with so many events, and now it's just two for you women in Beijing. At least the mixed team is new, but do you feel that it's a sort of a fair program ahead for your discipline?
Of course I could wish that we could jump in the big hill and have a team event as well, like the boys have. So I really could wish that was what we were having in front of us in the Olympics right now. But the positive thing is that we're having the mixed competition for the first time, and that's a step in the right direction again. And if I'm not completely wrong, it takes time to change a Olympic program and to get new disciplines into the program. Hopefully we will have it have the same competitions and be equal with the boys next Olympic Games, but by far this is what we have, so we have to prepare for that.
But you've also mentioned the mixed team already when we were talking about Willingen. Of course, it's a bit difficult to predict because we are still 1 month ahead of it, but how do you think are the chances for Team Norway in that event?
That's always really hard to predict, because there's so many nations who are capable to deliver top results, and I know that our team can be really strong if if everyone is in the shape that they can be, and if we're having a great day in the hill. So hopefully we will at least be on the podium, but yeah, it's hard to tell. There's always some outsiders as well. That's just, coming up and showing great performances. So it's going to be really exciting.
For sure. So all your serious ski jumping fans out there, do not miss out on that, because especially because it's a premiere, it should be really, really exciting for everyone out there.
Yeah.
And the competition times are at noon, so it's not that bad for us Europeans as well.
No, I know. It's perfect.
So I've got another question for you coming from outside regarding the Olympic Games.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to play you an audio right now. So let's have a listen on to that question.
Hey, Suya. This is Michael from the Ski Jumping Women Norway page. I hope you're doing well, and I wanted to ask you a little question. But before I do, I want to wish you all the best at the Olympics. I hope you do great. I believe in you. Go out there, do your thing, believe in yourself. And if you do, know that amazing things will happen. So ever since you were a little kid, even before you discovered ski jumping, you always had the Olympic dream. I was wondering, if it wasn't for ski jumping, what other sport would you like to have done at the Olympics? Thank you and good luck in Beijing. Go get them.
Oh, that was a nice recording. Well, that's a really good question, actually, because I have always had the Olympic dream. But before I started ski jumping, I was doing cross-country skiing and orienteering. And since orienteering is not on the Olympic program, I guess it would have, it must be cross-country skiing then, or Nordic combined, which is either not on the Olympic program yet, but probably in the future, hopefully. So either one of those, I guess.
And again, it's a sport in which Norway is taking part of a role model at the moment.
Yeah, really.
So if you can't get enough watching ski jumping, you should also follow Nordic Combined, because at least half of the competition is also ski jumping.
Yeah.
What's also interesting about this season is that even when the Olympics are over, there are still a couple of highlights coming up with the Raw Air making their comeback, and also the Bluebirds. So, what are your goals for this? Let's maybe call it second half of the season then.
I think Raw Air is probably the highlight for me for the second part of the season. It's a really exciting tournament, and I have good experience from it from earlier. Besides, it's in Norway, it's at home, and I really hope to do great there. It's something special about competing at home with my family around me and people that I know sharing. So that's the second highlight, I think.
And how much will you miss Trondheim, as it is not in the schedule this time?
I think I will miss it a lot. And I really have missed it this last year that has passed. We haven't that many hills in Norway, so not being able to train in Trondheim throughout the summer it was new for us this year. So for sure, I will miss it in Roar as well.
Let's hope it will be worth it, because I think the drafts for the new venue look really, really nice.
Yeah, I totally agree. So I can't wait to jump there.
So please, you builders out there, do a better job than the ski jumping hill builders here in Germany do. So the hills will be ready in time for that. That would be nice.
That would be nice.
So we're slowly coming to the end, but of course we are always playing here a traditional game in the Flugshow. It has a nice German name, but we can't really translate it into English, so we called it a Quick Five. So I'm going to ask you five questions, which you hopefully can answer, and also tell me why you choose this or that. And the first one is, what is your favorite hill?
I think it's either Titisee Neustadt or Lillehammer. I don't know exactly why. Lillehammer, probably because it's my home hill and I love jumping here. And in Titisee Neustadt, I had a really nice experience last year and I really liked the hill. It was a hill that suited me well. So that was fun.
I also couldn't choose between these two. I mean, I've never jumped on a professional level, but I like them both. So good choice there.
Yeah.
coming to the opposite side, is there a hill you dislike the most?
But I'm not sure if I can say it out loud anymore.
Okay.
Because I really dislike Kronstadt. Before this summer Grand Prix this year, I didn't manage to figure it out at all. And I have always been struggling there. But since I got on the podium and delivered great jumps there this summer, I'm not sure if I'm allowed to say it anymore. But I guess it will forever be a challenging hill for me.
Well, it's also good learning for our listeners that K95 doesn't mean K95 in every case. There can be huge differences.
Yeah.
Who was or is your ski jumping idol, if you ever had one?
Actually, I've never had someone special. I've always just been looking up to everyone who is better than me, and actually everyone around me as well, who does something that I can learn things from. I think I'm just trying to put everyone's great ideas and technical solutions together, trying to find my own way with their experience. This kind of
sounds like a good approach. Yeah. fourth question: what has been your best moment in your career so far? Or moment you enjoyed the most? We can also put it like this.
Yeah. I think I have two great moments that I really remember. The first one is when we took the bronze medal in the World Championship in Seffeld with the team. Probably just because it was so unexpected that we could take a spot on the podium. And I just remember the atmosphere and everything. It was so special, and I remember that really good, really well. I also remember the Raw Air tournament in 2020 back home here, and especially the two events here in Lillehammer, taking a podium spot individual for the first time, then the day after standing on top of the podium, but being pushed down to second place after an hour. That's an experience I really just will remember forever. It was, really special.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, everyone who was watching that competition surely won't forget about. But I'm surprised you actually chose this one, because I was expecting that it would be more painful for you as an experience.
Yeah, that day it was a bit painful, but when I got some distance to it and looked back at what we did as a team, it was it was a really good day for us. And no matter if I got the second or the first position, we were two Norwegians on top, and my shape there was really good. Yeah, I will remember it forever, no matter how it ended.
And for sure, Raw Air 2022 will write some new exciting stories. And the final question in this regard, let's pretend I'm Santa Claus and you have one wish free for the future of women's ski jumping. What would you put on the list?
Ooh, I only have one wish. Is that it?
We can also make it free if you want.
Okay. The first thing is ski flying for us. I really want to go ski flying. So that's my biggest wish. And then my second wish is to get a calendar similar to the men's, to have competitions every weekend from November till the end of March, and being at the same places as them and taking part in all the events in the big hills and ski flying and everything. That's a really huge dream for me. And then my third wish, if I can have one, is a full program equal with the men in the Olympics.
People who know me shouldn't be surprised that I would totally like to tick everything off. That's why I allowed you to have three wishes. So that's totally fine. Yeah, I think we are at the end of our talk. So all I can say is that it was an enormous pleasure speaking to you, Ilja. So thanks a lot for being here on the Fluke Show. And as usual, we would like to give our guests the opportunity for a final message, maybe for our listeners out there. So if you want to say something, please go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to say thank you for having me. It was really nice to be here and to talk with you. So thanks for that. And hopefully people will follow our competitions in the time to come, and I hope to deliver some great competitions and great great show for everyone's watching us from through the TV screen.
Und das war sie auch schon wieder, die Sonderausgabe der Flugshow, unser Interview mit Silje Opseth. Wenn euch dieses Interview gefallen hat, freuen wir uns natürlich, wenn ihr uns folgt auf unseren Social Media Kanälen. Ihr findet uns auf Facebook und auf Instagram, beides unter dem Namen Flugshow, und natürlich in der Podcast-App eurer Wahl. Wenn ihr mögt, gebt uns auch gerne eine Rezension bei Spotify. Dort könnt ihr einfach in der App eure Wunschzahl von Sternen für uns vergeben. Wir freuen uns natürlich, wenn es 4 oder gar 5 sind. Ansonsten tretet gerne mit uns in Kontakt. Wir sind für euch erreichbar und melden uns schon in den kommenden Tagen wieder mit unserer nächsten Ausgabe. Bis dahin gilt natürlich, fliegt soweit es geht. Bis dann.